A pager, yeah. All right, we got everybody back? How many were here last year?
In this room?
No? Okay. How many have not been in here in this room with me before? You've never been in here? Okay, great. All right, well, we really have a boring time usually.
What?
I stand and I just monotone, read scriptures and talk, and everybody's really silent. It's actually usually not at all like that. But I have some problems with my sharing. We're a small group, so the interaction is really easy, but it's also a problem. When the brothers preach at the other time, I think all of us are in Kenny Pittman's messages.
Yeah.
So when he's preaching, he has to squint and he can't see all of us. So he doesn't catch us in what we're doing. He doesn't know if I'm like bored with what he's saying or anything like that. But I can see all your faces. And so if you whisper something to a friend, I'm just curious, what'd you say?
And Mommy gospel.
So yes, especially I think we're gonna be buddies, me and you. What's your name? What's your name? Is this your first time in this room?
Yeah.
Okay, so come on up.
Oh. I've stayed for, I don't like this.
No, come on, come on, come on. No, come on, we're going to be friends. My name's Jeffrey.
You wear sunglasses, that's what you
Your name's Andrew, ready? You wear sunglasses?
No.
Okay, come on.
Were
you
one of the ones that... I know to see what I'm doing.
Were you saying that you could do push-ups?
No.
Okay, no, come here. You don't have to do push-ups. Come here.
I sit here now.
Come here, Andrew, come here.
This is my new home.
All right, I need another volunteer. I need somebody to pretend like they're Andrew. Somebody to die for them.
No!
All right, come here, Andrew, come here.
We'll bring the other Andrew.
Come here. I suggest that we give Andrew 5 minutes to share with us from the Word of God. What do you guys think? Come here, a little closer. Come here.
This is scary. This is why I need to wear sunglasses, so no one can tell what I'm looking at.
You know, sunglasses are really helpful. You can be bold when you wear sunglasses.
No.
I was somewhere, and this guy preached in sunglasses the whole time, except when he wanted to ask people to believe in Jesus. Then he would take them off and look at them in his eyes.
No.
And he'd call them to believe in Jesus. All right, so listen.
I just lost my voice. I can't say.
Oh, you don't have to say anything. Come here. So typically, if I get distracted in the middle of, like, say we're talking about something. Now, right now, we're just trying to talk about how to have our times. But normally, probably later today, Andrew's going to interrupt us. What do you guys think?
I agree.
100%. Oh, lies.
So,
$10.
Now, when I was Andrew's age, I was just like Andrew. So I probably would interrupt sometimes accidentally, but I actually was interested. I was listening, but I'm just excited. And so what I do now is I just flip people that interrupt. So do you want to get flipped now, or do you want to later if you... Well, come here.
Go on.
You want to just try? Just try one time? Come on. When was the last time you were flipped?
All right.
So we have other things we can do, but I'll teach you guys a new move or a flip or do something with Andrew whenever he interrupts. Something like that.
Not Andrew.
Maybe we'll have to use that Andrew instead sometimes. All right. So in our times, though, guys, we have four times, but our last time is going to be right after hearing Kenny Pittman share. So that time is going to be, I'm going to do like a half talk because you all are going to be worn out from already hearing a message. And at that time, we're going to also finish with some questions and answers. So while you're taking notes, if you have another like scrap piece of paper that you can rip off and turn in eventually, we're going to take up questions throughout the time. And these questions can be about anything. They can definitely be on topic, and they can be off topic. It'd be nice if you asked an off topic question, if you could also ask something to do with the Lord, to do with the Word of God, to do with things of God.
But
ski mask, what'd you say?
I'm on a ski mask.
All right. Let me see. And then today, right after this time, we have, on the schedule it says discussion group. So for our time, we're going to go to our classroom, and we're actually going to do a group Bible study thing together. So that will be, we'll take like a 15-minute break during this. Were you raising your hand? Oh, you're just stretching. Oh, who were the push-up people?
That guy.
Who can do 25 push-ups? All right, come on up. Come up forward, please. Yes.
Oh,
25. No. Can you do 25? There's more. You can do 25.
That guy said he can be 25.
We need like a few more girls.
This man.
You want to do in the hall?
I didn't say anything during that.
Come on, man. I need some buddies. All right, so here's what's going on.
Excuse me, you can really
do that. Okay. Yo, no more trash talking.
All right, ready? So normally, before I share, this is an unknown. Is she coming? Is she coming?
Yes.
Lila.
Hate is a strong word.
All right. So normally, before I preach, I do 25 to 50 push-ups just before I get out here. But I usually do it in secret, and nobody knows that I do this. And it just kind of relaxes my muscles and frees me up from thinking about myself. So it's one of my routines. Are you guys with me? You want to do push-ups too? Do you want me to do push-ups with you on my back?
No.
Maybe?
I'll try.
All right, so listen up. I used to be a butler and a luggage boy for a traveling preacher, Lance Lambert. And I used to carry his luggage, and he had these huge suitcases. They would weigh 70 pounds each. And I had those on each hand, and then I had his man bag. It looked kind of like mine. And then I had his other bag that had his tea set. He's very British. We had tea time every day. And then I had a backpack with my clothes on. And so I would walk through the airports like this because his bags didn't have wheels. Yeah, it was terrible. And so this was one of my jobs, traveling around with him. And I was on security and on cooking and cleaning up the animals and the house. It was just basic slavery for 2 years. So this is what I did. And during that time, I did 100 push-ups every day to stay in shape. And sometimes I'd go to the gym. And I was bigger than I am now. It was great. But then shortly afterwards, and because of my wrestling time in high school, and because of that time, my body broke, and I was moving my mom's furniture, and I remember lifting this last box, and then I just fell down, and the insides of my stomach just were gone, and I had to have surgery, and so since then, I haven't done 100 push-ups all in a row yet, so I'm working back up to it now, but the surgeon said, you won't be able to lift a Bible bigger than this in the maybe the rest of your life, so... Anyway, by God's grace and just, I think God's design of bodies is better than sometimes the doctors think. So I'm able to do some stuff, but I used to be cool with push-ups. Some of these guys could probably do 100 push-ups. They look like they could do 100. Can you guys do clap push-ups? All right. So let's hop down. You guys ready? Okay, we're all down. All right, now one thing with push-ups is how straight your body is, right? How's everybody look? Are their bodies straight?
He's up on the ground.
Ready? Okay. You guys ready? Now put your legs together back. Is everybody straight? Okay, we need people to count 25 times. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
One.
Two. Give us a pace. Three. Four.
Five.
Don't forget to breathe.
Nine. Ten.
Oh, it's too hard. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,
17, 18, 19, 20,
21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27,
28, 29, 30.
Okay, who can do 25 more? You can?
Here, get down.
All right, let's see your clap push-up first. Nice. 25 clap push-ups? Okay, no. All right. Okay, 20 more really fast push-ups.
Really fast?
Yeah.
1,
2, 3, 4,
pretty good.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17,
you see muscles now.
18, 19,
awesome. All right, guys, give him a hand. That was good. Good. All right, you guys can sit down. you have Bibles, can you pull out a Bible?
I'm glad to bring my Bible.
It's awesome if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, sit next to a buddy who has a Bible. If you can. Neither of you guys have a Bible? Can you guys sit by my friend over here? On each side? That's great. You can wear your sunglasses. Okay, let's go to... We're going to have a theme verse for our whole time. It's in John 8. I don't know if I kept... If I finished the instructions, did I? So my point earlier was... I want us to have a time where we meet the Lord in our sessions, where we hear from the Word of God, and we can have a joyful time too. I'm willing to take distractions and tangents and hands raised, and we actually have it built into our time. So we have our discussion times, and we have a question and answer time at the very end. And if something's really crazy, like I spelled something wrong, or... Oh, how do we turn that off? Is that distracting you guys?
No, I like the computer.
You like the computer on?
Yo, I didn't turn it off.
All right, let's see. Do you think this does it? Sorry, you guys. I'll figure this out before next time.
You bully me.
Who is? I got a zapper. Sorry. All right. Oh, I didn't shut down, did I? Let's see.
No.
Is it sad? Yeah, I still haven't turned that off. All right, so you guys see my problem? I see a screen behind me, and I'm distracted.
Yeah.
You're distracted too, right? All right, who's got John 8 open? You got it? The theme verse that we're going to be using is in verse 58. Can you read that like really loud and face
That's
everybody?
Cool.
Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am.
That's good. Pretty loud. This is our theme verse. I want to read the context of it after I pray. Now I'm going to pray, and let's ask the Lord to keep us from distractions. You guys know I'm just as bad as you are. So let's pray. I know. Let's just, let's keep that as my background. That kind of looks good, right? Behind me? Reading.
Yeah.
Check the input terminal. Like, that's got to be our reminder to check the input terminal, right?
Okay.
With our hearts to make sure we're open for the Lord to plug in His Word. All right, so we good with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So me and Andrew definitely need prayer that we don't get distracted, right? All right, let's pray, and then we'll read, and we'll share some. Lord, we want to trust this time into Your hands, and we pray for all of us, that we could focus, that we could quiet our hearts, that we could be open to You. And Lord, I pray for all of us in here with our path with You, that You would bring us along and to meet with us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I'd like to back up in this story when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. He's actually talking, first he's talking to his disciples, some Jews believed, and then there's some other Jews there that had not quite believed. And they're asking him questions, and the way that he's talking, and the things that they're bringing up, they're saying how they are Abraham's children. And he's saying, it's true, you all are children of Abraham. Physically speaking, they are descendants of Abraham. Now, in our time, we're going to go through creation to up to Abraham's time. We're actually doing a timeline, and we're covering all of these parts in Genesis. We're not getting into Abraham as much. We're doing before Abraham. So everything that's going on before Abraham, that's kind of our realm for this time. So Jesus is saying, before Abraham even was, before he's even born, I am. And while he's talking to them, though, they're really confused. So leading up to this spot, I'll just pick one place. Maybe it's verse 49. Jesus answered, he said, I don't have a demon, because they're just saying how he sounds all crazy. And he says, but I honor my father, you dishonor me. All right, 50. I do not see, let's go to 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Now, remember this part, because they're trying to reason with him. The Jews therefore say, we know that you have a demon because Abraham has died, and the prophets have died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who has died, and the prophets have died? Who do you make yourself? This is verse 54. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. And there he's connecting his Father with God, the one that they call God. And then he says, I'm at verse 55. And you know him not. You do not know him, but I know him. If I should say I don't know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham exulted in that he should see my day. And he saw it, and he rejoiced. And then this is where they say, verse 57, the Jews therefore said to him, you have not yet been 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. They took up therefore stones that they might cast them at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple and went through the midst of them. So in this case, what he said was enough for them to throw stones at him. Now, their reaction, it's not just that when they get confused, they want to throw things. I used to work at a doctor's office, and the doctor would throw his charts. This is when they had paper charts. If he was mad at something or an employee did something wrong, he would throw the chart at the employee. Or just throw it across the room. So when I helped them go into electronic medical records, so they're using tablets now, I changed the password of the Wi-Fi to do not throw one chart. Because if they threw a chart, they'd break the iPads. But anyway, this doctor would throw things when he's mad, and I have another, actually my brother, when he gets upset, he throws his cell phone. I know that he's gone through 20 phones in the last 2 years. This is a real problem. So he's angry at something, and he throws his iPhone and smashes it. And go ahead, Andrew.
Does a doctor have good aim? Does
pretty good aim, but you know, a folder with paper in it, it just goes everywhere. Just, yeah, but he hit people sometimes, yeah. Anyway, that's not what's going on here. With the Jews of this time, if somebody blasphemes, it's the penalty of death, and it's death by stoning, even in the Old Testament. So they're picking up stones, which is all around, and they're ready to kill Jesus because of what he said. What he said was not just something of a different teaching. When he says, I am, obviously, he's claiming to be God. So he also says that he's from before Abraham's time. Now, with these guys, they know his time. They know Jesus was born. They know Jesus is a man. And they know he has not lived in Abraham's time. Probably most of you know, but some may not know, Abraham's from many years before the time of Jesus. We're going to do a timeline today, and we'll actually see where he shows up. But Abraham's before Moses' time. There's Abraham, and then what's his kid's name? Abraham, Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, okay? And then Israel had 12 kids, and those 12 kids became this huge nation when they were in a slavery in Egypt, and then Moses was born among them. A few generations down, because Levi, the son of Jacob, had a son, and he had a son, and then they had Moses. And so then Moses is the one that God used to take them out. And then Moses, when he's getting called to take the Israelites out of Egypt, and they're going to be this nation. This is the Jews. This is the Israelite people that they're saying, our father's Abraham. Their father's Abraham because Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob is Israel, and he had the 12 tribes, and that's who these guys are. They're part of the 12 tribes of Israel. So when Moses was called to lead the people out, Moses saw the burning bush. He had the burning bush experience. And he took the shoes off his feet. He's on holy ground. And God appears to him, and he says to him, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, Jesus quotes this in the Gospels. He actually uses this when they're arguing with him about resurrection. And he's saying, don't you know that God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead? Now, the mindset of God, when God appears to Moses and says, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, in God's perspective, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he's the I am with those guys right then. It's not that hundreds of years ago I knew your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In God's perspective, he's the God of the living, and he's the God of right now, of this moment right now, but he's also beyond time. So you take a step back from time. He is the eternity God. He doesn't need like a time stone. He just is. He's from eternity himself. It's like built into him. He steps outside of time because he actually made time. Now we're going to read some scriptures to show this and how this works. But basically, when God was talking to Moses, and he's sharing, because Jesus explained this to us, he shares about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those guys, not only at that time, are kind of with God in what's called in Luke, Abraham's bosom or paradise. They're not only, they're going to rise in the resurrection, but when God is thinking of Abraham, he is, at the moment he's with Moses, he has that same sense of aliveness as back in time with Abraham. If you could imagine taking a step back, and maybe you have multiple TVs in front of you, and you have one movie you're watching that has a timeline, but all the TVs show a clip from every bit of it. And if you can sit back there, and if you had enough eyes and enough brain power to watch them all at the same time, that's not even as awesome of an experience as God has. Being God, it'd be pretty cool though, right? But being God, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right then, he's the God of the living. It's not that those guys are, in God's perspective, of course, actually, in time, their bodies died. Now, they will, in time, be raised from the dead, and they're going to live. They've just fallen asleep, in a sense. But also, when God says, I am, he is right now, and he is everything. So we're going to use the time period before Abraham just to see how he is the I am in those moments, to find the Lord Jesus as the I am in those times, to see him before Abraham. We know that Jesus was born, but he was there before. So we'll look at that. And then, not just that, but to see that I am experience way back then is to be an experience today. So he wants to be the I am experience for us today. Go ahead.
What was this when he stepped down before they had to take his shoe off? Why would you take your shoe off?
That's true. Why would you take your shoes off? Anybody have an idea? When else are shoes taken off?
When you're at home.
When you're at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you wear slides.
Then you wear slippers?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes you wear slippers. Any other time in the Bible where God said, take your shoes off? Moses. Yeah, the burning bush. There's another time when, we remember, talked about last year. Well, it was here, but it was with Joshua. Oh, when they enter the temple, did they take your shoes off? That's a good thought. No, with Joshua. Remember, Joshua's about to fight the battle of Jericho, and he's scoping out the land, and they've already kind of learned a lot, and then he's ready, and then this giant warrior stands in front of him and pulls out his sword, and his men are with him, and he's like, whose side are you on? And this guy says, no, I'm the captain of the Lord's armies. And he said, take your shoes off your feet. It's a little known part in that story, but we usually don't remember that part. But he does say, who is that person? Isn't that crazy? So he says, take your shoes off your feet, because this is holy ground. Suddenly, in the presence of this captain of the Lord's army, shoes had to be taken off. In the presence of the I am. Okay, now Moses, another time shoes are taken off is at the Last Supper. You guys know what I'm talking about?
They wash their feet.
Yeah, and who washed the feet?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus washed the feet. One thing with holy ground is that we remove the touch from the world in that moment. Holy ground means you're in the presence of God. It's not that this square right here is holy, and whenever you step on this square, you take your shoes off. You hop off this square, you put them back on. It's in the sandals in the Bible represent our touch with the world. And especially if you're wearing sandals, your feet are also getting a little dirty. So not only do you need your sandals off, but you need your feet washed. And in the presence of the Lord, actually when we go to break bread, during this weekend we're going to break bread, one of the things that's supposed to happen is the Lord Jesus washes your feet. before you take of the bread and of the wine, before you take of those things, this is what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He went around to each of his disciples and he washed their feet. And all that touch from the world, from walking and getting your feet dirty, all the things that I remember of my day or of the past or whatever, and my mistakes, the real dirt, or even just the being around people that are not walking with the Lord, just being out of his presence in a sense, touching all that, it gets washed away from your feet. And all you have the sense of is, I'm at home with God. I'm in his presence. So when Moses takes his sandals off, his feet definitely are spiritually getting the washing experience. I mean, his own spiritual experience right then is he's fully in the presence of God. And so that's kind of the meaning with the feet washing and with the sandals and so on. All right, now what were we talking about though before? Oh, at the burning bush, Moses, right? You guys with me? And he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Moses is asking, what do I tell them your name is? And in this time, though, this is when God says, I am that I am. You guys know what I'm talking about? This is pretty commonly known stuff. All right, so knowing that, that's like the big I am that I am that all of us know about. So you could see why when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, why it's a problem. With us, if you got up and said, I am, we would just all look at you and wait for you to finish your sentence, right? But among them, he finished his sentence. He's just like, before Abraham was, I am. And they know what he means. He's not waiting to explain, like, I am the son of whoever. He's just saying, I am. And that has to do with the name of God. I am that I am. Even the actual name, the Yahweh name that the Jews eventually stopped pronouncing. And in our Bibles, most of them will have Lord in all caps. Even that is based on the I am words. So it kind of has that same meaning. Like, so when they say I am, and Jesus says it all throughout the Gospel of John, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. Every time he's saying that, he's showing what this I am really is. It's for the current need. It's your experience of God right then. He really is our all in all. And when Jesus is when they come to take him to the cross, and they come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they ask for him, and he stands up, and he says, they're asking where he is or something like that, but he says, I am. And then all those soldiers fall down, because then they get back up and he says, I'm the one you're looking for. Different sentence. But when he just said, I am, the power of that name of God just knocked all of the soldiers down. This is in the Gospel of John. It's amazing, though. Just this is what the Jews knew. So they're ready to kill him. He is claiming to be God. Now, we want to see, is all of this right? Is all of this true? And let me see. Did I get those? Yeah. Is all of this right and true? And how this turns up in creation. So at the time of Jesus, we have Jesus. When Jesus was born, his name is actually that I am name, but it's like, it's actually Joshua's name. But it's that he's the Savior. It's like the Lord will save. So that's the Yeshua or Joshua or Jesus. And in Matthew 1, chapter 1, verse 21, he says, you need to call him Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So he got this specific name Jesus after he became a human and not before. So the name of old that we would know him by. But when God touches down into earth, the name given is Jesus. Because now he's come to the earth to actually deliver all of us from our sins. So that's his name, Jesus. And that's what everyone's thinking about. And that, I think, often we think of Jesus that way too. We think of Jesus being born, and we think of him dying, and we know that he rose and he's alive right now. But we've got to take a step back and realize before he was born, the Son of God was there. I am. Before he was born, the Word of God was there. And so we're going to see how far back he goes. One place is in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of all beginnings, before even time starts, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the very beginning. Now, I think I need a type of timeline over here, but in the ultra beginning, this is the beginning before time starts. This is the beginning before before angels are. So it's actually kind of nice to have a light right here. Oh, and that input thing disappeared. Did you guys notice that?
No.
Okay. All right, anyway. Let's see. Just get me a big... Have you ever seen a whiteboard marker this thick? It's awesome. Yeah, isn't that cool? I just made a line like that. Anyway, so up here, just to give a spot for the eye. Look how big that is. You guys can all read it. Okay, I've got small ones too, though. But
you look at the marker.
I know. Even my markers distract us. All right, so with this time period, all right, little markers. In the beginning, now let's say time starts somewhere. At some point, stuff starts, and we have all of the universe needs to be made. Another thing that needs to be made are angels, right? And many people believe, because in the Bible the angels are so connected with stars, they believe that the angels were probably being created right at the time of the physical universe. But somewhere in there, the angels were there before the earth was created, because in Job it says the angels were singing as earth was created. But anyway, way back when, even before the earth happened, creation happens, and somewhere in here, time is starting. So we got a point in time where time begins. Now, I am, of course, God himself, we know, is way back here. Before time began. This, I think we've been taught, we kind of understand there's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And now God had to think of this and create and have a plan and so on. So actually a couple of scriptures talk about this where before the foundation of the world, like in Revelation, it says the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. This is in Revelation 13. And in 1 Peter 1, he says, he's just talking about from this earlier time, this plan was already there. Even the plan that would bring us to the cross. So I'll just put a moment here. Maybe, should I use this part? It's kind of big. Yeah. All right, we'll use this part right here. This is kind of a centerpiece. All right. So this is my bad cross drawing here. Okay. Here we go. You guys with me? All right. Now, God being so much God, can I draw on this part? Oh, all right. I'll probably get in trouble. God being God, he has what's called foreknowledge in Romans 8. And being God way back here, he knows what's going to happen, let's say, whenever people come in and sin. He knows what's going to happen with angels sinning. He knows kind of the future stuff, and he knows what's needed to happen to save people from their sins. And so that's why, depending on your translation, some of them say, from the foundation of the world, he's the Lamb slain. But either way, knowing what's going to happen, the plan of the cross, the plan of coming and saving the whole universe by death on the cross, bringing all of it right to here, was already there before the universe started and before time started. It was already known here, and the Son of God already volunteered to take that spot and to make the Father's plan possible to happen. All right, so this is something. So let's look at that. In Philippians 2. Oh, wait, no. We're in John 1. You guys ready? If you have Bibles, you could turn to John 1, just really quick. I already read the first part that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's right here. That's just before time, just before creation. This beginning, the Word's already here. That is the Son of God. All right, so we have the Word, and then he was in the beginning with God. Now, this Word in John chapter 1 is obviously the Lord Jesus, but actually some people argued with me before in saying, how do I know what you're saying is right? How do I know the Word is Jesus? And so we just turn to verse 14, which says, and the Word became human, became flesh, and lived among us. He was full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. It's like the glory of an only begotten Son with the Father. And so as you keep on reading, you realize the Word that became human is Jesus. So that Word that became human and stepped into time right over here and lived for 33 plus years and then died on the cross, that Word, I'm just writing the word Word here with a capital, that Word was over here as the Word of God. His name as the Word of God shows up also at the end in Revelation when he comes on his white horse and it says his name is the Word of God. This name is the eternal name for the Son of God. It's one name when we were talking about him from all time. And when you say Word, it is the expression. Like hopefully, even right now, by the time we finish our times in each session and we share the Word of God, but it should be that it gets expressed, that the things on the heart of God are expressed. And what's the meaning of this scripture is expressed. And that's what goes on with the person of God, the Word of God. When God expresses himself, when he is manifested, when he has an image or something you can see of God, it's the Word of God. So that's always at the forefront. All right, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, and then this happened. All things, this is verse 3, all things that received being, they received being through him. All things that were created through him. Without him, not one thing, now mine says received being, which is like created, not one thing received being which has received being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is all talking about the Lord Jesus, and the light appears in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. It says there that every single thing that received being, every single thing that was created through the Word of God. Every single thing. It says, not one thing that has been created. This includes angels. This includes stars and rocks and stones and dogs. Every single thing was created through him. All right, and then it says in verse 9, the true light, this is him, the I Am, is that which comes into the world and enlightens every man. He was in the world and the world had its being through him. The world was created through him, had its being through him. And the world knew him not, he came to his own, and they received him not. This is him showing up as the Word that actually created all of this. Now let me use the black again, let's see. So as all of this creation, as the earth was created as well, and as everything, and as time began, all of it was created specifically through the Word. Through the Son of God, he's the one that the Godhead used especially for all creation. And there's a reason for that. We'll see it from some other scriptures. But every single thing came from him. And then this one, this Son of God, shows up right here in time and walks around his creation. Knows them. And it says they don't know him. He walks and he's the light of the world. He's the very one that said, let there be light. He's the very one that brought in light to the whole universe and even the concept. And he is the light. And then he enlightens men. That means like he shows up. And as he walks near the very light of Jesus, you know that you've got darkness. It's like when your mom, Andrew, turns on the light in your bedroom. And then suddenly you're like, oh, mom, turn the light off. But now you see my floor's dirty. Right? I don't know. Your room's probably really clean, isn't it? No? Okay. So it's like that. I mean, I remember I used to be playing a video game, and I had a black light. I don't know if you guys know what those are. Like, maybe at roller skating. Or yeah. So anyway, everything looked really cool and shiny and everything, and I had posters, and then my mom would turn on the light, and then this white light came on, and then my floor was dirty, and none of my stuff glowed anymore, and then I just looked like a dirty guy. And I was like, Mom, turn off the light, and my eyes hurt because I was used to the darkness. And so anyway, that's what happened. Jesus showed up, and spiritually speaking, everyone was kind of, they knew that something was wrong. But whoever received him, it says in verse 12, those are the ones that he gave the right to be called children of God, to be born of God. So whenever they received him, that's what the experience was. When they let the light come, and their sins were forgiven. So that's that experience. He showed up right here. Oh, the projector will turn off within 3 minutes. You guys ready for that? All right. Is there a light that goes up here? No. Maybe not. Think there is? It's okay. You guys can still see the board, right? Even without the projector?
No.
Not really. Come on, guys. Let me see. Lights. What does that do? No? All right, where did Andrew go, guys? What's going on here? All right, let's look. All right, let's skip on. Philippians 2 has something kind of similar. Philippians 2 says... Nice. In Philippians 2, he's talking about humility at first, and then he's just saying, think of others and don't think of yourself, and then let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let this humble mind be in you. But then it says this. This is verse 5, it says, let the mind be in you, which is in Christ. And then verse 6 says, he was subsisting in the form of God. He didn't think of it as something to be grabbed. It wasn't like, he's already God, and he doesn't need to grab being God. But instead, he emptied himself and took on a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men. And then it goes on to talk about him going to the cross. But the point right here is, he's already God. He's already the I Am. He's already here. He doesn't need to grab and say, I want to be God. But instead, he emptied himself and became a man right here. That's how he became Jesus. So is Jesus half God, half man? Or how does this work? Yes, that's good.
It's like, if he has all the power, then he can make himself invincible.
Yes.
Yes,
and he kept doing that his whole time. Actually, most of his temptations were, show yourself as the Son of God, not the Son of Man. You know, when Satan's tempting him, he's not tempting him to do something that we would call sin. He's just tempting him to do really cool stuff. Do stuff that shows that you're God. Jump down, everybody will worship you. And turn a stone into bread. Like, to us it doesn't seem like a sin. It's probably not a sin, right? But if he does those things, that's his glory as God. But coming as a man, he took his place as a man, and he suffered and died as a man. That's right. That's really good. Yeah, Jesus is fully a man. And we normally always say he's fully God and fully man. But there is kind of a loss on both sides in this time period. I mean, he's fully man. Oh, I got a squeak one. That's good. He's fully human, except there's a difference with him and us. Yeah, about 3 minutes. What's the difference with Jesus and Andrew? This Andrew.
Yeah, that one.
Almost no difference. No, I mean, Andrew, the problem is Andrew's parents. Andrew was born in sin, right? Are your parents sinners? Yeah, I mean, Andrew would know of all people, right? But inheriting this sin DNA, this sinful nature, is not something that happened with Jesus. He's born fully of a human mom, but in that God came with the Holy Spirit to create the baby, he left out the aspect that we inherit from Adam and Eve, of the fall of man, of the sin. So he's fully human, but somebody would say, well, he's not human like us in that he doesn't have sin. I say true. Amen that.
Did he make miracles?
Did Jesus do miracles? Can anybody name a miracle that Jesus did? What you got, man? 5 loaves, 2 fish. Did what?
He became a fish factory.
He became a fish factory, yes. And a bread factory. I don't know if he became the factory, but he blessed it. And then they passed some loaves and it turned into a lot. Turned water into wine. That's a miracle. Walked on water. What was it? Was the other one? Blind man? Yeah, blind man could see.
First one,
yes. Look at you. You're asking if he did a miracle. You already know he did miracles, right?
What are we talking? Then he wouldn't be fully man.
He would be fully man.
Oh, because he got
it. You know what he kept saying? He's like, the miracles that I do are the miracles that my Father wants to do. And he did them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like humans now would do if God wants to do a miracle through the church. If he does something, you know who else did some miracles? There's some people in the Bible that are not Jesus, the apostles and others, that some miracles still happened. People were healed, just like with the time of Jesus. But they did it by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by their own their own powers. None of them had superpowers or were gods or anything like that. All right, but Jesus actually, what he lost as far as the God experience, he emptied himself not of being God, but of the glory of God. In his throne as God, he gets all of the glory and all of the worship and all of the God experience. But as he came to be man, he emptied himself of that. Now, who is the actual opposite of this case in Philippians 2? Like, definite opposite. Jesus did not need to grab after being God. Someone else needed to grab trying to be God. And Jesus was humble and had this humble mindset. Someone else had pride as their mindset. The beginning of pride. What you got?
Priests.
The priests. And who's their father? What Jesus would say, your father is the devil. Because in the very beginning, when sin came into this universe, it was through that Lucifer, the angel that fell. And he tried to be God. He tried to become like that. And pride rose up and he thought he was awesome, so he wanted to be God. So that's what happened. That's how we got where we're at right now. Okay, let's do another one just really quick. Is back in Genesis. Let's skip on back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's actually get to the creation. This one I don't even know if you need to read because you probably have it memorized. How's creation start? In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. Who's got it memorized?
No, it's
in the beginning, God
created the earth.
Yeah, created the heavens and the earth. And then the earth became waste and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over all of those waters. And then verse 3 comes in where he says, and God said,
let there be light.
Let there be light. My man, I like it. Let there be light. Now, way back in the beginning, universe created, all of this awesome stuff happens. We know that all of this was done through him. Now, I just want to use one aspect of the creative work of God just to show the I am and how this is to do with us. You know, when he's creating, when he's kind of restoring the earth and bringing everything to be ready for man, he even says, as he's getting ready to make man, he says, let us make man in our image, right? So this is chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26 and 27. In the image of God, he created man. Now, this is God talking in the Godhead, the Son of God and the Father God and the Spirit God. Let us make man in our image. And so as he's doing that, that's the I am. That's Jesus as the Word of God existing before Abraham was. Before Abraham was, even when Abraham's forefather Adam was going to be created, he's there in a council with all of the Godhead saying, let's make man in our image. Now that image is the Word of God, is Jesus. Go ahead.
Did he use model magic or what?
Did he use what?
Model magic. Model
magic is hard to do. And you're almost going to get flipped. You're going too far. Model magic? You talking about like the stuff that you build stuff with?
Yeah. And clay is a lot harder.
Clay is harder, yeah. All right. So he made man in his image, right?
Wait, but
Mario
magic takes 3 days to grind.
All right. Andrew.
Oh, no, he did have 3 days.
You're on pause. Pause button for 5 minutes, okay? Pause. You got it? Pause. All right. Cool. No, but you know, our next session is going to be all Andrew in the front of the board. You're going to be talking the whole time. Yes. All right. All right, so just pause. Ready? Pause. All right. So obviously that spot, you can see that he's there creating, and he's actually talking, and he's working. But in the spot where he speaks and he's just bringing the earth out of darkness, and he's doing this first day of fixing everything, and he says, let there be light. That experience is an experience for all of us today. That is a I am experience for right now. Now, so catch this. This is why I want to draw this timeline. Also, we're going to be using this. What happened? Let's say wherever we're at, and he's saying, let there be light. That is the same thing that's to happen right here, where he says, let there be light. With the Apostle Paul, he said this, let there be light.
What happened between?
What happened in between?
Yeah.
My point is, this I am that is bringing in the let there be light over here is the same one who today would have the same type of experience. Now there it's with the physical world. In Hebrews chapter 11, It's this chapter on faith, and it's talking about how by faith all of these things happen. And at the very beginning of it, he says, by faith, is like in verse 3, he's like, we know that the universe was created. It was actually created by faith. So that way, the things that are seen actually came from the unseen. It came into being. It was in the heart of God, but actually, it came into being from there. And as that experience happened, as he said, let there be light, and light shines and everything like that, the same thing, the same one who brought everything into being is here today, is alive today, walked on the earth, and actually wants to bring us into the same I am experience. So this is the last thing I want to bring up. You with me, buddy? Remember your own pause. Okay. This is the last thing, just to catch this. This is, let there be light, is explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he says there, it's the same God who did this, let there be light, who spoke that way, is verse 6. It's the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine. That's when God said, let there be light. It's that same God who now, today, shines in our hearts the radiancy of the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus. This is the same exact experience. So let's read this. It says, because it is the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine, who has shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All right, now here's our point here today. Before Abraham was, this whole time period back here, the Son of God is there, is doing things, is I am, is an experience for all those people. We're going to look at every one of those experiences, and right now, just want to look at the experience of creation. The experience of creation is the Word spoke, and everything's created. And that also comes into being right here with us today. The experience of entering into the new creation in Christ, of being born again, of meeting the I am, is when light shows up, you don't hide. You don't run from it. As you're full of your sins and the dirt of the world and your shoes on your feet just show how much you've walked in this world. But instead, you're open to Him. And even though the earth was covered over with darkness and everything was a mess, when He said, let there be light, the darkness was removed. And it was separated. And then there was light. And it shone forth. It's the same with us. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, what happens is, the darkness that's covering your heart, you open up and you say, you allow, you believe. As He says, let there be light, you say, amen, let there be light. And you open up your heart. You receive that light. With that light comes the cleansing of the precious blood, which we'll talk about tonight. With that light comes forgiveness of sins. As you expose the darkness in your sins and you're open to Him to bring you into the new creation, as you're open to the I am, to experience Him today, you're washed clean. And all that was covering over your heart is removed. For this to happen, for the I am from before Abraham to be the I am of today, it took a moment in time, which is called in the Bible, in Romans 5, this is called the right time. And in Ephesians 1, it's called the fullness of time. Right here, in this time period, it's the fullness of time. It's just the right time that Christ died for the ungodly. At this moment, all of eternity stepped into time and touched all of time. So as the I am came in and stepped into the cross right here and had that experience of dying on the cross, all of the sins from all time, all back in this time, from all the way back here, everything that was back there, they all came upon Him. And for those three hours of darkness, all darkness like it was surrounding the world, all of that world's darkness from way back there and all the way up until our time right now, every bit of darkness that surrounded the world surrounded Him. And He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And all sin came upon Him. And the Father, for the first time, turned from Him. And the Son became sin and took sin upon Him. And took sin unto death. And at that moment, the light that was shining, that was the light of the world, became darkness. And darkness so swallowed up the light. And He went down into darkness. And He went down into the darkest places, the place of the dead. And He went down into Hades. And He went into the tomb for 3 days, and then the light shone beyond darkness, and let there be light was experienced. The light of the world that took upon himself all darkness and all sins burst forth in resurrection. And now when he says, let there be light, it's not just to create the rocks and not just to create the physical light. Now he can create the new creation. Now he can undo the darkness that's spiritually been upon mankind all of this time. When he says, let there be light right now, and we say, amen, I receive the let there be light. All our sins that have been born on the cross, they're washed clean in our experience. Your sins were already on the cross with him. He already took them. If you're holding on to a sin right now, it's already been crucified with him on the cross. But if we don't let the light come in, let there be light like that, we don't experience the I am who's from this time period right now. Whatever's happening right now with him also happened right then. The sin that you just committed this week, that one was also born on the cross right then. Because God is, this is the fullness of time. This is a moment in time that touches eternity and it touches all of time. This spot right here at the cross is the division of time and it's the repairer or salvation of time. And so the moment right now where you have sins on your heart and some darkness covering your heart, this moment right now, if you receive let there be light, what's done on the cross actually comes to you right now and the forgiveness of sins happens. So we want to open up our hearts and amen. When he says let there be light, not run from him and not hide from him. He is the God. He is the I am that was before Abraham, even at the very beginning of all creation. All right, I'm going to pray for us and just want to ask the Lord to open up our hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for all of us in this room, even this experience needed today of let there be light. This experience that we need, Lord, of you being the I am. Lord, we don't want to turn away from you or hide from you. You are the light of the world. You are the everything. And Lord, you are our I am. Lord, we come to you and we want to take the sandals off of our feet and even allow you to wash our feet and bring us into your presence. And Lord, remove the dirt of the day. And remove the dirt of our lives, the things, the darkness that's been surrounding us. Lord, I pray for all the souls in this room, for all of us, that none of us would walk on just dwelling in darkness, just existing in like an icy way. But Lord, we pray, we open up our hearts to you and pray you would meet with us, that this would be a day of experiencing you today. Whether those in the room are saved or not saved, Lord, you know the hearts of all of us in different experiences. All of us need you today, Lord. All of us come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.